Welcome to the podcast of Life Change Church, where we exist to love people to life change. We hope that this podcast is both challenging and encouraging to you. Enjoy the message.
What's going on? There's a lot of you. Good to see all, well, not here, but over there is a lot of you. Good to see all of you. Thanks for being here this morning. My name's Tim. I'm a financial advisor. Before that, I was a pastor for 15 years, and that's where my education background is. I have a degree in Bible and theology. Here's a picture of my family. I said, hey, you want to hear Dad talk for 3 hours? And or you could go to our home church and hang out with your friends. So they're not here today. They're at their home church hanging out with their friends. My daughter, she's 10 now, so that meant she was a kindergartner in the midst of the pandemic, doing like online school, virtual school during that crazy time, you know. So it was awesome because she was taking a break from school and she was watching Daniel Tiger. And Daniel Tiger was talking about what to do at school. And he was like, oh, I'm going to school today. And my daughter snapped at the TV and said, stop bragging, Daniel Tiger, stop bragging. Because he got to go to school and she couldn't. And so that's actually kind of what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about bragging. We're going to talk about boasting. Because we are in this series, Love Does. Really, Love Does Not. What are the things that we... that's natural to our humanity, that's something that's really easy for us to do as people, that's not actually loving, that's not reflecting of God's character and who he is. And one of them, according to scripture, is love does not boast. So if we could have the scripture on the screen, love is patient and kind, love does not envy, love does not boast. And I thought about that, and I was like, it's kind of weird, right? So is that a big problem that, you know, people are just doing the dishes and after they get done with the dishes, like, acknowledge me, I'm great. Like, is that what we're running into in the church in Corinth? Like, that was a common issue where, you know, you change the diaper and it's just like, I'm the greatest dad ever. You spike the baby and it's just like, oh, I'm awesome. And it's just like, what are we talking about? Love does not boast. All right, well, I guess if that's what Paul meant, if you're boasting, stop it. Just chill out. All right, if the worship team could come up, let's pray. what are we doing here? Love does not boast. All right, so what do we mean? Because I don't think it means the way I look at it, right? Because I what is even boasting in this context? Because I had a situation, our office, like, they do awards and keep kind of track and score and ranks of how we do as advisors. And I was looking at the numbers, I'm like, oh, I might win advisor of the year. Like, it's going to be announced on Friday. And I was like, oh, this happened about a month ago. I was like, it's going to be announced on Friday. I'm like, this is kind of cool. And I told my wife, I'm like, might be me. Like, I might have done it. Like, I might be advisor of the year. That's pretty cool. And there was a few friends I texted. I was like, hey, this is like something that's happening. And it'd be awesome if it did. And Corbin is actually one of those people. And I thought it was interesting because it's like, why didn't I tell more people? It's like, because that's boasting, right? That's bragging. Like, oh, I'm the top. I'm the man. I'm incredible. Okay, so why do I feel like weird and shameful to actually tell like people that love me and care about me where it's just like, hey, you know, this is kind of cool. Like, I'm pretty excited about this. Like, we got this weird thing about success in the church culture, right? And I think it's misplaced. Because we want to do it, we shouldn't do that, right? Like if there was a medical emergency and, you know, Seth came up here and was like, hey, there's a medical emergency. Is there a doctor in the house? And someone's like, oh, I don't want to brag. But I went to med school for 8 years. I mean, it was OSU, but, you know, it still counts. Like, wouldn't that be weird? Yeah, we kind of do that in church culture. Like, we don't want to brag, we don't want to boast, we don't want to, like, revel in success. We don't want to throw success in other people's faces. And to be honest with you, it gets weird. Right? I don't know if you've ever experienced this, but you tell someone on stage where it's like, hey, man, you sounded really great. Well, you know, it's all God. No, it wasn't. You worked hard. You were here midweek practicing. You worked on it. You knew your stuff. You developed this skill over time. This did not happen spontaneously. You and God partnered together, and you made something really special. So why is that weird? Why is that weird to just... Because we're so afraid of boasting. We're so afraid of bragging. We're so afraid of flexing. I want to propose to you today, that's maybe partially because we're taking this passage out of context. Love does not boast. So never tell other people how awesome you are. But what if you're kind of awesome? What do we do about that? Right? We'd never like step up. We'd never like take some opportunity. So I was just thinking about this verse. I was wrestling with it. I was like, what does this actually mean? Love does not boast. So of all the resources out there, there's a great free resource. And I don't get paid by these people. I should, to be honest. But there's an organization called blueletterbible.org. And what they do is they connect basically an online concordance that connects the original like Hebrew and Greek writings of the scripture and connects it to the first English version of the Bible, the King James. And so you're able to see word for word what these things meant in their time and their context. So I looked at that because I'm like, I don't think boasting is what we think it means. That just doesn't make sense. I don't think that was just a rampant problem in the first church of Corinth, right? So what was actually going on here? So if we look at it, when we look at the King James, it says, instead of love does not boast, charity vaunteth not itself. Cool, we're not any closer to figuring out what this means. Matter of fact, we took a step backwards. Okay. So what does vaunteth itself mean? Because I know charity. Charity is love. Okay. What's vaunteth itself mean? Where did that word come from in the Greek? New Testament would be Greek. So what's a Greek word here? You know what's funny? Like, I could keep changing the letters around, and like, you guys wouldn't know. Like, it's that word. What's that word mean? Well, it's boasting. Boasting is embellishing one's position. Because I was thinking about this. I'm not really convicted about bragging. I don't think that's who I am. Maybe I'm wrong, but it's a huge blind spot. But I think I'm good on that. So what's Paul trying to talk about here? Embellishing one's position. Oh, crap. I do that all the time. Because the last time I was in an argument with my wife, I did that. Because we were talking, and she did one thing that rubbed me the wrong way. And did I bring up that one thing? Yeah, and 14 of their friends, of all the other things that ever slighted me, ever, right? So, yeah, you did this. And you know what else? You did this. And hang on, let me get in a DeLorean and go 88 miles an hour. I'm going to bring this thing up from 2006. And I did that. And in hindsight, why did I do that? Because my issue was so stupid and so, like, not a big deal that to justify myself and how I was feeling, I had to build a better case, right? So now she's standing there in the kitchen with all these trumped up charges from all, you know, like I thought that was resolved. Apparently not, you know? And I was like, oh, what's that? I'm embellishing my position. That's what Paul meant by boasting. The Bible wasn't written in English. This is a Greek letter. To the church in Corinth, over a millennia ago, and this is what Paul was saying, don't embellish your position. That's not loving. That's not kind. Oh, we do that. What does that look like? So what does embellishing one's position looks like? You know what it looks like? It looks like using the words always and never. Oh, yeah. Again, I feel like I'm a big bragger. I'm boaster. But I've said that before, that so-and-so is always late. So-and-so never does this. Right? When it comes to work, so-and-so never attaches that document. You can't trust so-and-so because they always do this. Do they, though? They're just batting 1,000 at that? They don't never accidentally showed up on time? What are we doing? We're embellishing our position. Because maybe what we're saying is not that big of a deal. So to feel better about ourselves, we're making it a larger deal. What else does embellishing our position look like? Making our mistakes smaller and theirs bigger. Oh, for real? I'm the only one that's ever done this? Okay. All right, Tim, you know, what this looks like is saying, it's like, oh, it's not a big deal that I forgot to, you know, take the dog for a walk, but it's a huge deal when the kids do it. It's not a big deal when I don't clean up after myself, but it's a huge deal when someone else does it. And I'm late, and I'm trying to run through this thing. Oh, that's what embellishing our position looks like. That's what it is. When we shrink our problems and then blow up everybody else's, oh, that's what it looks like. Here's another one that it looks like. We excuse our own behavior, but when someone else does the exact same thing, it's a character flaw. I was late because of this, this, and this. You were late because you're a terrible, irresponsible person. I was late because this situation, I missed that project. I wasn't able to do that because of this situation. But you didn't do that because you're evil. You're bad. You're incompetent. You're dumb. That's why you didn't think of that. I didn't think of it because I had a brain fart. I was thinking about other things. But you're just stupid. That's what it looks like, right? Embellishing. Changing what the reality of the situation looks like. That's what Paul was saying. Paul wasn't just like, hey, stop bragging. And when you're around church folk, feel bad about yourselves. And don't ever talk about what you're good at, okay? Become really socially weird, okay? That's not what Paul was saying. Paul was talking about this ability to embellish, make things smaller, make things bigger to make yourself feel better about yourself. Don't do that. That's not loving. Anyone in this room into Japanese shows from the 70s? No, just me? Cool. There was this character, I got first edition toy from eBay with the original Japanese card around here. This is Ultraman. Don't patronize me. I know you've never seen this before. Ultraman would protect Tokyo and Osaka from giant kaiju monsters. It was essentially like riding a Godzilla wave for kids in the 70s. And so so what Ultraman would do, his superpower, was he could get huge and be able to be large enough to fight these monsters, or he could shrink down, be a normal person, and escape a situation, that sort of thing. That was Ultraman's ability. And in hindsight, as I was talking to first service, I was like, it's kind of like Ant-Man. And I realized, I was like, I should have just said Ant-Man to begin with instead of like bringing Ultraman out of my collection. But here we are, right? So it's just the ability to change sizes. And I was like, oh, that's kind of what we do, right? When we're feeling small, most of us don't like to feel small. Most of us don't like to feel like we shouldn't be in here, we don't belong. And so a lot of times we try to make ourselves feel big, and what we do is we boast, we change the size of our position. It's not something to just be late. We can't just be late. So this, and this had to happen. That's why we're late. We're embellishing a position. We have to embellish the size of the monster that caused us to feel a little bit incompetent, a little bit small. Here's the good news. Bad news is, if we're real with ourselves, we all struggle with this. Good news is, we're not the first people to to have done that. We actually see this happen in Scripture. We see this happen in a super awkward place. And this is a fantastic story presented by Jesus. This is what Jesus says in Luke chapter 18, 10 through 14. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I'm not like these other people, these robbers, these evildoers, these adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and I give a tenth of all I get, but the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. This is so good. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled. If you try to make yourself big, you'll end up small. And those who humble themselves will be exalted. And humbling yourself is not making yourself smaller. That's not what humility is. But understanding that if you look and operate in the realm of truth, you will be exalted. Those opportunities will come. Now, just to be transparent with you, I was a pastor for 15 years. I never prayed a prayer like that. I never prayed, Lord, thank God I'm not like Seth. Man, can you imagine? Like, that I've never uttered those words to God, okay? But I can't talk like that to my wife before. It's just like, really? You're mad at this? Can you imagine being married to so-and-so? At least I help out with the kids. At least I help out in this space. At least I do these things. And I'm throwing up what I don't know about other people. Why? To make myself look bigger in that situation. Oh, that's what that looks like. Trying to trash other people so you look bigger. Make other people so you could step on them and be bigger. You're trying to be Ultraman in that situation. Oh, yeah, I've done that. It's not good. And you know you've done that if you use the phrase, at least I never. What are you doing there? You're minimizing the accusation against you, right? You're making that smaller so you can make yourself bigger, be Ultraman in that situation. Ant-Man, I guess. 2024 Americans, I'll talk to you guys in this sense. Right? So, how do we deal with this? How do we get better at this? Because this is a situation Paul said, hey, that's not loving. We as Christ followers need to be loving people. And again, if we're all honest with ourselves, we struggle with this, okay? So what should we do? How can you and I not embellish our positions? Here's the first idea. You and I can invite God into our conflicts. Ew. Man. There are times where I've done that, where I felt like bothered and upset. It happened to me this week at work. We have a case, a relatively large case. It works with like a organization. We're doing a retirement plan for their organization. Did a single thing go right? Nope. Look what I just did. I embellished, right? Yeah, some things went right. But it didn't feel like that. And I'm so angry about this. I'm the lead on the case. And multiple times, I just wanted to bring everyone into Zoom because we're working on different with different parties. And I just want to level them. It's just like, all right, let's go through this. Here's what went wrong. How did you drop the ball in this situation? How did you drop the ball in this situation? And I just want to, and I'm like, I'll probably never work with you again. This has been like, and that's what I wanted to do. And I was really upset on Friday. I drove home and I was thinking through. I was like, God, why do I feel this way? Why do I feel this tension? I was like, oh, because I personally know the clients before like we started a working relationship. And I feel embarrassed. I feel embarrassed because now they might not think I'm as awesome at my job as I actually am. And like this has been a struggle and a struggle situation. Oh, that's what's really going on. It's an ego thing. It's not all of them. It's an ego thing. It's a me problem. Oh, that is a totally different outcome than not inviting God into that conflict and leveling people and bringing them into that situation. I don't know about you, but have you ever had the Holy Spirit pause you right before you're going to say something to your spouse when you're upset? And then you're like, shut up, God. Hey, I just... You just fire straight ahead. Like, all the warning lights are going off where it's like, it's going to be bad. And you're just like, let's go, right? How do we get better at that? We invite God into that situation. We pause. All right. God, you know my heart. What's really going on here? There's probably something I can't see. If I'm really upset at this, and only this, I'm not exaggerating, I'm not embellishing the situation, then maybe this is a me problem, God. What? And you care about that me problem. What is that? Help me understand that. That's the first thing we could do. Second thing, you and I should be aware of opportunities for self-deception. Ooh, we lie to ourselves, people. Like, we're so good at it. I'll work out tomorrow. I'll go low carb this week. We'll start saving then. We'll start saving after vacation. Right? We're so awesome at lying to ourselves. Like, we're the best at it. So we need to be aware of when we're lying to ourselves. And I thought about this. I'm still working on this theory. No one has been able to prove me wrong so far, but I have a theory that when we encounter something difficult or challenging, we have two options. We could grow, or we could lie to ourselves to feel better about the situation in our own incompetence. Okay, so here's an example. My daughter plays soccer. There's a strategy called an offsides trap. It's where the defense moves up. It leaves the offensive player behind the defense. And every play, the ref has to stop the play, give the defenders a possession because they're constantly being offsides. It's an offside trap. What if the coach implements that strategy? My daughter plays defense. My daughter does it the way she's supposed to. Offensive player is behind her. Offensive player gets a ball, goes and scores. The ref never calls an offsides. That's a difficult situation. You're supposed to, you did things the way you're supposed to do and still didn't work out for you. My daughter has two options. Grow, get better at that. Be able to be more obvious so far up that it's obvious that that player's offsides. Be fast enough, even if it's not called, to be able to come back on defense and make a difference and take the ball away. Option one. Option two, lie to herself. My coach is so stupid. Coach doesn't know what they're talking about. What are we doing with that play? That ref is an absolute idiot. How can you not call that? This is all dumb. Every challenge you and I encounter, we have two options. We're going to lie to ourselves to make ourselves feel better about our own inadequacies. When we get called out on something, oh, you know what? They're just having a bad day. Or there might be some truth there and we could get better at this. Oh, this is just a toxic work environment. Or you're not perfect. Man, it's just such an unhealthy family dynamic. Or you could grow in compassion and understanding. We have some opportunities here. So that's the second thing. Last thing is this. You and I should befriend truth. Jesus is truth. Jesus is our friend. Truth should be our friend. We should constantly be embracing truth. Now, the difference between truth and Jesus is we don't always like truth. Sometimes truth is not comforting. It is not comforting to look reality in the eyes. I love being in finance. You know why? Because numbers don't lie. Amen. I can look at the numbers and just like, you're not on track for retirement. It's not there. We don't see with probability that it's going to work out good for you that you can retire when you say that you want to retire. You can't argue that.
Yet what do we do sometimes?
Well, you know, we'll start doing this later. We'll start doing. It's like, we got to learn to befriend truth. Oh, I got a problem. I should change my trajectory starting today to address said problem. I should be thinking about this differently. If we're having the same fight with the same people consistently, maybe we need to embrace some truth here. Maybe we need to look truth in the eye and say, do I have a problem? Is there some things that I need to see? I need to look at things differently. And why is all of this a big deal? Why would Paul write this poem? This is a poem in the middle of a letter. And he does this several times throughout the epistle. Sometimes he's just writing a letter and then he's just going to break out in a poem. Super weird. But it's something that he did. And so he sticks this love poem in the middle of a letter. What does he want us, not us, what do he want the first century church in Corinth to understand from that? And by the power of the Holy Spirit preserving those letters, what can we learn from that to become more Christ-like? Man, love is a big deal. And you know what? Most people don't get love right. Isn't that why the world's such a mess? Not because of our economy, not because of these political parties, not because of this country. Because we as humans aren't good at this relationship thing. And we have in and out groups. And we're so scared that we have to justify this or that. And we justify crazy things because of out of fear. And out of self-preservation. Why is this a big deal? Because if we get this right here and within our context of family and our relationships, people closest to us, I don't think that there is a bigger evangelism tool than that. I don't think there's a bigger evangelism tool than healthy relationships. Because we're all struggling with them. Everyone is struggling with healthy relationships. So what if this is the place where people saw it working right? What if this is a place that people from the outside looking in saw, huh, I like their marriage. I like what's going on with them. I like that it's multiple generations, like everybody figured out how to get along. What a big deal that would be, right? In the midst of everything is so separated, and it's like, oh, Gen Z, they're so lazy. And it's like, okay, boomer. In the midst of that, here, that didn't happen. Because we're able to honor the people that went before us, and we're able to bring up and empower the people behind us. That would be different. That would be cool. That would be special. What if we didn't have to be alike to like each other? Right? Because we're all in our own microcosms and the algorithms is feeding us the exact same stuff. And we're all in this echo chamber so we could think all the same way. What if we could sit by and honor and love and care about people we don't necessarily agree with? Oh, that'd be cool. That'd be a cool place to go to church. That'd be a cool community to get plugged into, right? So that's why this is a really big deal. How do we get there? We can't keep exaggerating ourselves or the problems, make other people feel smaller so we can feel better about ourselves. So as I bring up the worship team to close us out today, can I pray for you? Because I don't know about you, but this is something I could work on, okay? Because, man, I just think about it with my kids all the time. I see challenges in my 12 and 10-year-old and my 6-year-old where I'm just like, oh, why can't you get this right? And I'm like, oh, I'm not batting 1,000 in that area. Right? Why can't you be more patient? Like, that doesn't even make sense to pop off on patience. Be kinder to your siblings or I'll beat you. We could all get better at this. Here's the bad news. We're not going to do it on your own. We're not going to do it by sheer tenacity of your will. You need the Holy Spirit's help.
This is a superhuman thing. If it was human, we would have figured it out by now, and everyone would be doing it. It doesn't happen that way. So we need the Holy Spirit's help to become more than what we currently are. Can I pray for that? Heavenly Father, I just thank you for you. Again, I thank you that every time I come here, I feel the tangibility of your Spirit, the reality of you. Thank you for reminding us of your goodness, your kindness, and that you are here, that you are present. Heavenly Father, we recognize that we struggle in this area of this boasting, this elevating ourselves, belittling others. God, just give us truth. Let us see truth. Let us see reality. And when we see a gap between where we want to be and where we are, God, comfort us. We don't have to comfort ourselves by hurting other people. You could comfort us. You could be our comforter in those moments. Holy Spirit, empower us in that. Remind us before we pop off, before we send that email, before we post, that you have bigger plans for us than just working off our own initial emotional reactions. And I pray for this service, every single person in this room, that they'd be challenged and convicted by your Holy Spirit to become really good at this thing of lifting others up, serving others, being truthful. Thank you, God, for your power and your Holy Spirit to help us, not just today, but every day moving forward. In your name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the Life Change Church podcast. If you were here today and you were listening and you made a decision to follow Christ, we would love to hear about it. Or maybe you're here and you're listening and that God is asking you to make the next step with whatever that it is in your life. We would love to hear about it and partner up with you. And let us know if you made a decision to follow Christ. Let us know what God is asking of you. And if you need prayer, we would love to partner up with you in prayer as well. We hope that you enjoyed the podcast and that it both encouraged and challenged you. Have a great week.